Welcome to another edition of the Lakers Locker Room. I'm your host, Tajon Graham. And before we begin, I have very special news. At the time of this recording, I just found out this morning that this podcast, The Lakers Locker Room, according to FeedSpot, has been named one of the top 70 student athlete podcasts on the web. And that's with over 250,000 podcasts. This podcast, The Lakers Locker Room, ranked 34th. So I want to say thank you to everybody who's listened to this podcast, supported this podcast. You know, I want to give a special shout out to the original people of this podcast, you know, Matt Samard and Harrison Harper, for allowing me to take over this podcast back in 2020. And just for everyone who's been supporting, like I said, it's been an amazing opportunity. I'm so thankful for this achievement. But this couldn't have been happening without you guys. So looking to the camera, for those who are watching YouTube, thank you so much. This is such an amazing honor. And like I said, there's more things to come. I got the special announcement at hopefully a number episode 100, but you got to wait to find out. Today, we have a very special guest. You know, this is someone who's new to the scene, Nipah Singh. You know, so much potential, so much to talk about. You know, she's the team rookie of the year for women's basketball. Should have been on the OEL rookie team, but we're going to talk about that. I think she got snubbed, but that's a whole different conversation. But please welcome to Lakers Locker Room, Taryn Gauthier. Taryn, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, thank you so much for taking time to come to this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
No, for sure. Is this your first podcast?
It is, yeah.
A lot of people have always said that. How are you feeling? Like, are you a little nervous? Are you excited?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect, so definitely a little nervous, but I'm excited.
I think you'll do great. Let's get right into it. So first of all, I'm going to say congratulations. You know, obviously, for those who know, I wasn't able to be at the banquet this year, unfortunately, due to some things. But, you know, Taryn was able to win Women's Basketball, you know, Team Rookie of the Year, which I think is a huge honor. So much things happened in your rookie season. But first, just talk a bit about your athletic banquet. Was your first athletic banquet, kind of, how was it?
It was really good. I've been to a few athletic banquets just with the other sports team that I've played, but it was definitely a lot more people, a very different environment, a lot of awards. That it was definitely a lot, but I thought it was a great experience. It was really cool.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you definitely had an amazing rookie season. You know, let's talk about your circumstances. So obviously, you came into Nipah Singh this year. Obviously, it was your first year at Nipah Singh. Yeah. Obviously, we obviously had a senior point guard, Nicole Budd, unfortunately, who got injured. And that kind of elevated you. You kind of were put into a position that you weren't expecting coming in. So just talk a bit about what that was like in terms of being able to kind of take on the reins and kind of really being able to spread your wings a bit as a rookie.
Yeah, of course my plan originally was to just follow behind Bud because she's such an amazing player and I wanted to learn a lot from her, which I did with the few weeks that I was with her. But yeah, it definitely put me in a position where I had to really step up and do things that I didn't expect myself to do. It definitely gave me a lot of experience that is going to help me in my second, third, and fourth year. So I'm very thankful for it. It wasn't always easy, but I think it was really good for my development. And yeah, I'm very thankful for the opportunity.
Yeah, talk about that with Nicole. So I've obviously known Nicole for 5 years. She came in here the same year as me. Obviously, great person, great player. You know, a lot to take from. So what was your relationship like, you know, building with Nicole? Obviously, like I said, she plays your position. That was something you were looking to obviously emulate and things like that. So when she went down, kind of, did that build your relationship? How would you kind of talk about your relationship with Nicole?
I think that in a lot of ways, she kind of became a mentor for me because I was playing the position that she was supposed to play. So I kind of looked for her in a lot of ways to kind of help me or guide me through certain situations because she obviously has the knowledge and experience. And I was faced with certain things that I've never kind of seen before. So I was definitely looking at her for a bit of guidance and for help through those things. So I think that as much as it's a competitive relationship because we're playing against each other, I think it's also like we kind of learn from each other in a lot of ways. So,
You know, I talked to Megan, obviously your teammate, on a couple episodes ago, and we talked about how at the beginning of the season, obviously, there's so many injuries. Obviously, you know, Nicole went down.
Yeah.
One of you, obviously, your high school teammate, JaVea, went down for the season, right? So there's a lot of injuries at the beginning. Yeah. Just even before all the injuries, talk a bit about what you were expecting from the team going into your first year, obviously, before the injuries. Obviously, you had a great group, a lot of girls coming back. It was really a turnover of a new leaf because the year before, there was a lot of veterans, and this year was a lot younger. So before all the injuries, what was your expectations for the team going into the season?
I thought we were going to be very raw, but I also thought that there was a lot of talent and that we could get pretty far. Of course, when JaVea and Bud were out, it kind of changed our expectations as a team of how the season was going to go. But it's the kind of thing where you know that season's going to be how it is. And then next season, I think that we can kind of start off where we were supposed to start off this year. So I think as much as it was not the best situation, it's very hopeful for next season for sure.
Yeah. When Nicole went down and obviously we found out that it was going to be like a season ender with the ACL, was there a conversation between you and Coach Rachel about kind of what's expected from you or kind of what was that transition like? Because obviously once Nicole went down, it was kind of expected, okay, you have to take, of course. shout out Rachel, look at the camera. Hi, Rachel.
Oh my gosh.
Look at the podcast. So,
hi.
Hey.
Oh my gosh.
for watching the podcast. Wow. So when you went down, when Nicole went down, obviously, you know, was there a conversation with Coach Richard? What was that kind of transition like in terms of saying, okay, Nicole went down, we're going to have to kind of, we're going to have to ramp up this development quickly. Yeah. Like, what was that conversation like?
I don't think there was like a specific conversation where she sat me down and she's okay. like, okay, this is what you have to do now. I think it was kind of an unwritten thing or an unspoken thing. Yeah. So she kind of just had to change the way she coached me in practice. It was like, okay, you're not really a first year anymore. You're in a position where you have to play like a second or third year. And there was definitely a lot of communication, which was really important for me in that situation. But yeah, there wasn't a specific conversation. I think it just kind of happened and it was like, okay, well, this is what you have to do now, so.
Yeah. Were you excited for the opportunity? Were you nervous? Because obviously, like, you're 18, right? Or just turned
19? I just turned 19.
Then 19. So, yeah. So, obviously, you're young. Like, so you were my age when I first started. Like, that's a lot of pressure, right? So,
yeah,
what was your sentiments like? Were you excited? Were you nervous? Like, talk to me about that.
I was definitely a little nervous, but I also was excited because it put me in a position where I knew that I could have a bigger role than I was expecting. Right. And I was kind of put in that role last year. It wasn't obviously the same because it was high school, but
right.
I had at least a little bit of experience going into it of how to like to support a team and be a leader as a point guard. So at least I had that kind of in the background to help me. And I thought I was excited, very nervous, of course. But it was definitely something that I was excited to see what I could do.
Yeah, obviously, you know, early in this episode, we talked about, you know, Nicole kind of being that mentor to you. Who else on the team kind of stepped up most like a mentor for you in that space this year?
Sophie and Cookie were really great. I think the energy that they brought was something that I've never really seen before. I think we also really needed it because there was a lot of lows and it was definitely not easy, but they brought a lot of leadership with their voices and how they played. And I think it helped the team kind of keep going and not really give up.
Yeah, you know, obviously, when you first come to university, there's a lot of expectations of what you think it's going to be and what ends up being. Let's start with the basketball side first. Obviously, with the situation, obviously, with you having to step on your role, what was it that you expected going in and how was it different now you look back with the season being done?
I definitely expected some playing time, not nearly as much playing time that I ended up having, but there was just kind of the expectation that I'd get some playing time, kind of get used to what the league was like and be ready to have a bigger role this or next season coming up. And then obviously that changed a little bit.
Right. So what about the physicality? Was that something you had to adjust to? Because obviously there was a big discrepancy, you know, high school physicality.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
It was definitely a little bit more challenging. The girls are obviously a lot bigger, a bit more physical, but it did help that I played a few years of AAU in the States.
Okay.
So that helped a lot because it's quite physical down there. It's a lot. I find basketball is more aggressive in the States a lot.
Yeah.
So that definitely helped. And it wasn't as big of an adjustment had I not done those things.
Yeah.
So that helped a lot, I think.
And then stay on, obviously, on the school side. Obviously, just before we started recording, obviously, you were kind of relieved that your first year is almost done at the time of recording. What was the adjustment like? Because, you know, you came from an era where, you know, COVID happened. Your first year of high school was 2019?
I believe.
I think 19, right?
Cause, something like that,
because you graduated last year, right? So,
yeah.
So basically, most of your high school joined through the COVID era. So what was the transition like from high school, specifically the COVID era, to university? What was that like for you?
It was, I find, just kind of managing your time between practices and all the things that we do. That's the part that's challenging and that you don't expect. And the fact that teachers aren't as communicative with you and you're kind of on your own.
Yeah.
I think that's the part that was the most challenging. You have to kind of check things yourself. You have to be on top of your work. No one's there to remind you that you have something due. And then when you're distracted by games and practices, I think it's definitely an adjustment. But overall, I think it went pretty well. And it wasn't as challenging as I expected it to be. So
yeah, because that's the thing about the student athlete life. It's so subjective because it's really based on what you are. Like, a lot of people, I've had people who said they did worse in high school, but they're better at university. Like me, when I first came out, like I did really well in high school. Like my last year, I told people I got straight 90s. First year, I got a 66 average. Like, it was a struggle. So
a lot of people
go through ups and downs, but it's like really how, what I've learned too from people who also told me too, you got to find what works for you.
Exactly.
So people have said, like, you know, you might want to study in a library, you want to study in your room, you know, what you're, write stuff down, like figure that out. Like, what was that period like for you in terms of figuring out what worked for you? Because you obviously get a lot of advice. You get people say, okay, this is what worked for me, this is what worked for me. But what was it like figure out what worked for Tarrant?
I think the first step was picking the major that I knew I could actually be successful in.
What major did you pick, by the way?
I picked psychology.
Really? That was my major my first 2 years.
Oh, really? Awesome.
It was, yeah, before I switched to business, yeah.
I really enjoy it, and I'm good at memorizing things, and I like writing things down, and that's how I learn. So I just keep rewriting things, and that's how I memorize stuff, and I find my major is perfect for that stuff, because it's not math, suck at math, not good with numbers.
Not there yet. You gotta do stats.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah. I'm not excited. That's, Sophie's going to help me, she said. So.
No, I didn't want stats. I think I got 84. Forward stats. I did during COVID year, but
okay.
But I did stats my second year, so it's not.
It's
bad.
Very minimal math.
Yeah, it's not crazy.
Which I'm happy about, but
it's not crazy.
I think that was the first step, just picking my major, figuring out how I like to study and what worked best for me. And then I do like going to the library. I don't always like to be in my room. A change of scenery I find is always good, just to kind of clear my head.
Yeah.
And just taking a lot of breaks, but.
Yeah, you know, one thing about being a student athlete is that. The one thing I've personally appreciated is that when you come to university and you're new, you automatically get a set of friends, your teammates. You know, one thing I kind of struggled with, and obviously too, there's a couple years in between because of COVID, was like finding people outside of, you know, your sport to kind of connect with. Because unfortunately, people who might want to hang out and do stuff, they say, hey, we might want to go this. We say, oh, I got practicing.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to do this. Oh, we're going to run the road this weekend. Were you able to find friends outside of like your teammates? And if so, how has that attributed to, you know, your student life balance?
I do have a few friends. I think the majority of my close friends are obviously on the team.
Right.
I grew up with Dom. I've been playing basketball with her since, like, I think grade 5.
Oh, wow.
So, and I played with Javeo for 3 years. So, obviously, my circle of friends is through the team. But I have met a few people through my teammates that I am pretty good friends with.
Okay.
So I just find that it's not as difficult as I expected, because a lot of times when I see those people, I'm also with my teammates. So everything kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So people are pretty understanding too, I find.
Yeah, because that's the one thing I struggle with. It's crazy because like I'm about to graduate, and I had an epiphany with myself where like I said, I know a lot of people here.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between being friends.
So that's the thing.
And friendly.
Yeah. Like that's very true.
Right, so I know you're your first year, and so that's I think one thing to take into account, like obviously find the time to build friends. Well, I will say though that was helpful is at the time of this recording, I did my last class yesterday, and our professor who's actually my supervisor for my placement and also who's retiring, he set aside like 30 minutes to like say ask him whatever you want and ask him a question about that. And he was like, sometimes at the beginning you have to take the initiative for the friendships that you want to keep.
Yeah.
Because sometimes life gets in the way. People are chipping in too, but they're saying like life gets in the way. You know, sometimes people get busy, but like if there's certain people that you want to stay friends with, you kind of have to take the first step. It's a lot of work, but they said eventually it's halfway. So
yeah, I've realized that, especially with moving around a lot. I've been gone from home since grade 11. So a lot of the friends that I was really close to, I ended up drifting from because I just never had the time to see them. And everyone's busy and have stuff going on. So it's a little harder to reach out and to stay connected. So you definitely have to put in the work to be able to stay friends with those people. So
So it's a good thing that you recognize that now, because honestly, like when I first came into university, I wanted to make lifelong friends. And for a second, I was questioning myself, like, because I always had issues with socializing and stuff like that. But then when I got to university, like my first year was really big because I was able to kind of help get out of my shell. Because people that know me my first year, like teenage me was like super awkward, like still in that phase, like trying to figure out who I was. Obviously, I'm almost 24 now, so it's a complete 180. But like when I first came, I was like, I want to find a way to make lifelong friends. Because you're in high school, you always hear people always say stuff, oh, we'll be friends forever and we'll stay in touch. But it's like,
that gets hard after a while.
But honestly, it's like, not really. Because I've always said, like, when you graduate high school, there's always like 20 people like you never seen in the halls, you never talked with, you never had class with. So, I mean, some people, like, you're able to stay friends with from high school, but majority of times, not really.
Yeah, it gets really hard for sure.
Yeah, so I'm just glad that from what hearing from you, like, you kind of cognitive, kind of like figuring out the friend group. Because, I can say, it took me until like my third year.
Yeah, and I'm just in the mindset that, like, I'm going to have a few close friends.
Yes.
And I'll have a lot of acquaintances, and I think I've kind of come to terms with that because that's just the kind of life I chose for myself. I'm not going to have a huge circle of friends, and I don't really work like that. I'm also kind of shy and not the most social person, so I like having my small circle and then having people that I'm friendly with that I could talk to if I see them, but not someone that I'd actually hang out with all the time.
Yeah, it's crazy too, because I saw like a quote, I think, I don't know if it was, I think Tupac said it, but he said, don't be in a group of people who talk about other people, because the minute you get up from the table, you're the topic of conversation.
Yeah, that's very true.
So,
that's a great quote.
So it's a really about, I honestly heard that, I was like, damn, that's so true. But also too, about having a group of friends that can continue to, I guess, challenge you in a positive way, but also continue to elevate you and have your best interests of heart.
Exactly. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, because a lot of times you have people that, you know, eventually root for you because you guys are on the same level, but the moment you start to elevate, the moment you start to get opportunities, then, people start to switch up.
Where they disappear and they just...
Disappear, start moving weird, so So I'm definitely glad, like I said, at that young age that you kind of have that sentiment, because I didn't think like that, so you definitely ahead of me on that.
Yeah, well... It kind of comes with, when you decide to move away from home so early, you kind of have to figure that out pretty quickly. So that helps.
No, for sure. Like what you've been hearing so far? Make sure to follow us on IG at Lakers Locker Room and subscribe to our YouTube channel while you're at it, where you can find clips of all our episodes and video content associated with the podcast. Part 2 of the Lakers Locker Room starts now. Going back to talking about the season, obviously, you know, Obviously, the record doesn't speak for itself in terms of having it great, but there's obviously a lot to take away in terms of, you know, what we dealt with injuries. Obviously, you kind of be propelled in the role to take on more than you expected.
Yeah.
Kind of when you look at the season now that it's done, and obviously you're getting ready for next year in the offseason, what are your takeaways on kind of the season and what are you hoping for next year?
The takeaways I would say is that things are going to get hard a lot of times, but you just have to keep going. And that as much as things were not always positive this year, I think that we're all very hopeful about next year. And we think that we could play in the playoffs possibly if we kind of head in the same direction that we wanted for this year. And I think that as a team, we've all gotten a lot closer and more connected because of all those things that happen and all the adversity we face as a team. So I think that we're just more prepared for next year and a lot more hungry for it. So.
Yeah, I definitely think the fact that you guys have girls have a lot of people coming back. That's what they've always said about women's sports. You don't really see a lot of turnover too much.
No,
where people are cutting, say, I'm cutting because of the coach, or, you know, I'm cutting because of this. Like, the guy's side, it's the complete opposite. I've dealt every single people. I've dealt with people leaving this semester. You know, if people don't know, like, this semester alone, we lost, like, what, 4 guys halfway through?
Lots.
So, like, with girls, you don't really have to worry about that, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. I find a lot of times girls are better at kind of just enduring things and kind of going through it. And guys, I sometimes think that they need more than they actually deserve. Or I find sometimes they just don't communicate properly with each other. And
100%.
That it creates conflict. And then by the time they realize that there's a problem, things have just escalated. But I think girls are kind of more head on about that. So
no, I agree with that. Because a lot of times you hear people saying, oh, the coach is this, and the coach is that, but it's like...
But they won't actually talk to the coach or say anything, so...
Or not even just that, though. Just even sometimes, too, like, how do I put this? Let's be blunt. People get gaslighted a lot. A lot of times, you have people say, oh, you're the next up.
Oh, yeah, you're the
him,
best.
You're this, you're that. Like, this guy's, you're better than this guy, you're better than this guy. That happens to so many people. So when people come to university, it's like... Like, people think, okay, I should get this. I should get that. And if we're being honest, like, we kind of dealt with that a little bit on our team this year. Like, some people who are young come in and think, oh, I should get more than this. I'm better than this. What people don't understand is that when you come into a university environment, you're dealing with people who, number one, are older, who have more experience, but two, have, if we're talking about basketball, have a niche. So people will say, oh, I'm better than this person. But okay, but what do you do that contributes to winning?
Well, exactly. Like, it's not just about how well you dribble the ball or how well you shoot. There's so many other components to it. So
because you're always going to be on a team where everyone can do the same thing.
Yeah.
What can you do specifically that can help the team win? Okay, everyone can shoot. Everyone can dribble and stuff like that. But like, if you can craft a role for yourself, can you commit to that?
Exactly.
And I think that's the problem a lot of times we hear with not just basketball, but sports in general.
Oh, and everything,
Can people in university, when you're coming from your 18, 19 years old, can you commit to a role? Because when you're in high school, a lot of times, especially in the States, you get free reign. You know, you get all the praise. You get the newspapers. You get people saying you're this, you're that, the podcast, the praise, and all that stuff. But when you come up to university level, a lot of times you see it in NCAA, you got the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Like we just seen Haley Van Lith. Like
that's crazy.
She just was from Louisville, got to LSU, and she transferred again.
That was surprising to me.
Right? So, like, I think that's the biggest thing with sports now is, like, a lot of people are not able to be comfortable confining themselves to a role.
Yeah.
Like, they want so much more, but sometimes so much less is actually more.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think that, especially when you add in money and all those things that the NCAA has now with advertisement
NIL,
and stuff, that has, I think, changed commitments to teams. Like, I think of Cheyenne Day Wilson, who was at Duke, and now she's at Miami. And Miami didn't even make the tournament. So it's things like that that just kind of get into people's heads, and they kind of let all the noise get to them. So it's definitely changing a lot, I find.
Yeah, but even saying all that, let's talk about that for a sec. You know, one thing that's been huge is the advancement of women's basketball. Like we're seeing right now, at the time it's recording, LSU and Iowa just played earlier this week. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the viewership numbers, 12.5 million views.
Oh, I didn't see that, but I did hear that it broke records or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Hell, I watched it again. Shaq's right. The women are dominating the men's right now. Like, they really I don't even care about the men's side right now. The only game I've watched in the whole tournament, both men's and women's, was LSU and Iowa.
Yeah, it was a huge game.
And even tonight, I'm going to watch UConn and Iowa Final Four. What's your take? I know obviously you're really young, but obviously in terms of the space, like what's your take on kind of seeing like, you know, women's sports, especially the collegiate level, advancing so much to the point where, like I said, the women's is more popular than the men's right now. What's your take on that?
I think it's really exciting. I've always seen women's basketball as very intellectual. And I know like it's not, we're not dunking or doing all these cool layups.
Listen, I have to cut you off. My dad's a coach, and my dad's coached like for 25 plus years. He's always said like, I'd rather coach girls because girls, that my dad said, girls, listen.
They're coachable.
Girls, listen.
And they do things like the right way. Don't mess around. They do things to do things. It's not about being flashy or trying to get,
I don't know, the ratings
or
the rankings.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that it's really awesome to see. I think that it should have happened a long time ago, but the fact that it's happening now is, I think it's really exciting. And I'm excited for, the future of women's basketball.
Yeah, sure. Growing up, was there any like WNBA players or any women's players or players in general that you kind of looked up to kind of mod your game after growing up?
I definitely looked at players like Cheyenne Day Wilson. A lot of the times I looked at girls that were kind of smaller in stature because it was something that I could emulate. I could never emulate someone like Juju Watkins because I could never play like her.
Right.
But yeah, I'd like to emulate smaller players just so that I can see what can I do against height, what can I do to kind of have an advantage over taller players, because my dad always tried to tell me like, you can't see your height as a disadvantage. You have to find the advantages in it. So I think that was definitely my takeaways from all those things.
Yeah, so that was even the question I was going to ask you. Like, obviously, like I said, you're not the biggest stature, but like you can tell with your game because of how hard you play. Where did that fight come from? You know, a lot of times, you know, there's always a backstory to why people play the way they play. Like, what's your story? Like, why do you play so hard the way you play?
I think that I learned how to play tough like that from playing in the States. I think made me a lot. It had to make me tougher because girls will push you on the floor, or you'll kind of get nailed on a layup and the refs will do nothing. So you have to be a lot more aggressive. That was kind of a hard switch up for me because I kind of started the season fouling a bit more than I wanted to because I was so used to that level of play. And I find the OUA, they call things a lot more than in the States.
It's not just that. I think it's an interesting thing. Trust me.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah, but carry on.
But yeah, I think that just from a young age, when I first started playing, people would kind of be like, oh my God, like you're so small, but so fast. And I think that was always kind of an inspiration for me. Like, okay, I'm really small, but people enjoy watching me play because I'm so fast. So how do I implement that? And how do I use that to my advantage? So I don't think there was like a specific moment that made me want to play tougher, but I think that just the things that I did in my career had to make me tougher just because I knew if I wanted to make it somewhere, I had to play that way.
Right. And I think too, that I think that's the best way to put it, because I think you got to put stuff in a perspective in terms of, okay, a lot of times it's crazy because I think someone asked like, what's your why? Oh yeah. I remember Joey asked us, or who's our assistant coach of the men's basketball team, looking in the camera for those who are watching YouTube version. At the beginning of the season, he asked like, what's your purpose for practicing? Right, like why do you practice?
Yeah.
Right. I even seen something about, I don't know, have you ever heard of Deion Sanders, like the NFL or coach, some of that? I don't know if you heard.
I'd have to see a picture of his face.
So Deion Sanders played in the NFL and the MLB. So he coaches right now at University of Colorado. So there was a video that went viral, I think, I don't know if it was this year or last year, but it was basically he was talking about, you know, why do I practice? And he was like, I practice to be the best ever. Yeah. Right? So like always having a purpose in terms of why you practice and why you play. So what's your purpose? It's obviously like, it's like, you know, like to be the best. Is it to be better, to be a good team? Kind of like, what's your purpose?
I think it's just to be the best version of myself in the game.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's never going to be a day where I'm like, okay, I'm satisfied with how I'm playing.
Right.
It'll always be to improve and to be like the best version of myself. But I don't think I'll ever be at a point where I'm like, okay, I'm satisfied now, I can stop working. Like, it'll just kind of always be, okay, what can I do next?
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with that, because I remember the person who ran my prep program said this quote, I'll never forget it. And I think it's not just for sports, it's for anything.
And he says,
complacency is the death of desire.
It is. It really is.
The moment you get complacent, the moment you think, oh, you're satisfied, that's when you slip.
Exactly. Because you get too comfortable and then things kind of pass by and you're kind of not there anymore. So
Exactly. Yeah. So I agree with that 100%. You know, staying on the top, obviously, the season, obviously, we're winding down. Like I said, obviously, you know, had a lot of good conversations. Like, so I'm really enjoying this episode, by the way. Like I said, you're very, very interactive, very fun to talk to. So many good things to talk about. When we look at the season and we look at, like I said, talking about earlier, how your transition in terms of being able to be in those roles so quick, what would you say, looking back now, was the biggest part of your game that you saw improve due to the circumstances that you were faced with Nicole not being there?
I think the biggest thing, I don't even think it's necessarily a skill or something that I could really practice. It was more of a leadership role and how I can make an impact, not necessarily using my words, but just having that calming effect on the team, because, well, people rely on you to kind of have the offense flow and have things kind of under control. So right. I think that it was a big learning curve for me to improve on how to lead my team with not only my voice, but also how I play. So I think that that improved a lot, because it had to. I kind of was in a position where I needed to get out of my comfort zone and be the best leader that I possibly could in the at the time that I had. So, yeah.
Was there any point in the season, because of the situation, that you kind of faced a low point? And if so, what was it, kind of what got you out of it? I know a lot of times people go through ups and downs, right? Sometimes people talk about it, sometimes people don't. But if you don't mind talking about, like, was there a point in the season that you kind of reached a low point, and kind of how'd you get yourself back up to where you are now?
Yeah, I think in the water, when we went to Waterloo and Laurier, I was going through a bit of an injury with my shins, and then Laurier was a pretty rough game for our team. I think that we went in there expecting better results than we did, and I kind of just had one of those games where nothing could go right, and the more I tried, the worse it got. That also happened in Thunder Bay, now that I think of it. That was not a game either.
It's okay.
Yeah, but I think I ended up getting into some foul trouble, or I did something and I kind of just broke down, and it was, I kind of just felt super gassed, like more mentally than physically. And I was at the point where I'm like, oh my God, I just need to like walk away from this for a second. And Rachel ended up sitting me down and being like, okay, well, you're fine. And I think it just took me a few days to kind of reset and calm down a little bit, get some rest, and it happens. I think that it wears you down because there's so many games and in such a small amount of time and so many practices, and it got overwhelming, but I think it's normal for everyone.
I think, I don't think people realize that for basketball, we play 22 games. Hockey plays 27, so they play more than us, and they're more physical, which is crazy. But like, we play 22 games, like practice every day. Like you talked about, like, you know, sometimes in high school, you know, you may practice a couple times a week.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half.
Not much. Like, we go multiple times a day. There's times throughout my career I've gone three times a day. There's a practice, there's an indies, there's a weights.
Yeah, and then you have school on top of that.
School on top of that. Trying to find a way to have a personal life somehow. Like, it's an adjustment. It's
training. Yeah, for sure. But I think once you get the first year out of the way and you get used to that environment that's just so busy, I think that it'll be a lot easier next year to kind of manage.
Yeah, exactly. Staying on top of that, obviously going winding down. First of all, I said at the beginning of this podcast, I honestly think you obviously won Team Rookie of the Year, which is well-deserved. But I honestly think you got snubbed. I think Rachel talked about too. When you saw, and let's be honest, this is your platform. When we saw the Women's Basketball Awards and your name was not on the All-Rookie Team, considering the fact that you had crazy stats and you missed five games, be honest, what was your reaction when you saw that you were left off of the All-Rookie Team?
I was definitely very mad. I won't lie.
Tell the truth. That's what we're here for. Tell the truth.
Yeah, I've been snubbed before, obviously. Like, basketball is a world of politics, as we know.
Right.
It's who you know, who your coach is, all of that.
Yep.
So I wasn't surprised because it's something that's happened before, but it was definitely a kick in the face. And it took me a few days. There was a few screaming matches between me and my dad because we were like, what is going on? And yeah, but I got over it pretty fast, surprisingly. Like 2 days, I was like, okay. What can you do?
Yeah, but what's your, how, we'll use that, probably will, but we'll use that as motivation for next season.
I think that it kind of, I have to use it as motivation, kind of turn that anger into something positive.
Yep.
And now I think the goal is just to make an all-star team or something like that, which I think is very possible. I just have to kind of keep improving and keep playing the way that I am and just kind of use that as motivation instead of something to bring me down, so.
Yeah, because like I said, when I saw that, I know talking to Rich about it, I'm like, how the hell did you not make All-Rookie Team?
Yeah.
Like, for those you don't know, can you kind of talk about what your stats were? Because I can't remember the top of my head, but like, you were like pretty high up in there in most of the stats. Like,
I think I was second in the country for assists, I believe. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting now. I think I had some of the top minutes played in the country as well.
Missing five games.
Yeah, and I think I was ninth for scoring, I believe.
In the country or for rookies?
I don't know if it was in the country or rookies. I'm actually not sure.
Okay.
It might have been in the country because
Megan was.
I'm not sure.
Really in score, or was it Megan?
I think Megan was leading, okay. I believe. But okay. Yeah.
You can't. Hey, they say, what is it? What's the saying? Women lie, men lie, but numbers don't
yeah,
lie.
Yeah, that's the thing. But I don't think they didn't really do it based off numbers. It's all like a voting system, so they don't really base it off stats.
It's really dumb. Honestly, I can say it's dumb because even on the men's side, like Darnez, like was our leading scorer, and we played a team Guelph who had the same record, and they gave the point guard 13 All Star, and we had the exact same record.
That's insane.
He averaged like 22 points, but like okay, if we're doing off that, then don't give it to anyone give Darnez both. Like
it's, yeah, Darnez definitely deserved something. He had a great season.
So when I saw that, no disrespect to Zane Mango, shout out, good season. But like you averaged 22 points, but bro, you had the same record as us. You were 5-17. Like how are you a 13 All-Star, bro? Especially Darnez, how are you a 13 All-Star, bro?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I agree. It doesn't make sense. It's sometimes I wonder if it's a diss to our school sometimes because I'm like
no, I think it is.
Yeah,
because we're a small school, like I said. Yeah. No one knows about. I always tell people I didn't know where North Bay was when I first got here. I didn't know what Nipissing University was.
That's very true.
I honestly think it's a diss, but I've always said that the beauty about being a school like this is that you get to build your own legacy.
That's the thing. It's nice to be at a small school because you kind of have more opportunity. You know people a lot more.
Yep.
And well, if less people are coming here, it gives you more of an opportunity to kind of make your own path, like you said. So.
Exactly. So obviously, as much as it sucks, because obviously we don't have all the resources and stuff like that, we do have a nice gym, though. A lot of people, I think we have one of the top gyms in the league.
I love our gym. It's really nice.
I think we have a nice gym.
Yeah,
so.
Me too.
But like I said, you know, you have an opportunity to make your own legacy. You have an opportunity to make your own name, and you get to do historic stuff here.
Yeah.
Now, how many people can say they can do historic stuff at the university?
Well, it's a lot harder because the school's so big and you're competing against a lot more people. So, yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, I think you got snubbed, but we're not here to hate.
No.
Like I said, we're focused on the positive. You still want Team Rookie of the Year. You still have...
There's a lot of positives.
Are you going to be here for 4 years, 5 years? How much?
I haven't decided yet. I think I'm putting myself on track to finish in 4 years, but I can always do my major here, so...
Yeah.
Or my master's, sorry.
So, yeah. So, yeah. So, like I said, there's a lot of positive. So, let's end off this kind of final question for you is kind of, what's been your favorite part of this experience so far?
I think the environment and the people here have been, it's something that was, I wasn't really expecting it, just how close everyone is, and I find our team was probably the healthiest team dynamic that I've ever been on. Mm. There wasn't any like little fights going on or cliquey groups, like everyone got along and we actually like to hang out outside of just practice. So I just enjoyed getting close to everyone. I enjoyed playing for Rachel because I think that she's an amazing coach and I'm really excited to play with her for the next 3-4 years. And I just enjoyed getting to know everyone and being a part of the school for the first time. So it was a lot of fun.
Definitely, like I said, definitely had a great year. I think with Nicole comeback, I think with Javier comeback, it definitely there's a lot of promise.
Oh, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
Hey, honestly, like I said, it sucked, but honestly, it may have put you guys in a good position because now with Nicole coming back, with her skill set and what you guys do, talking to Rachel, she definitely has some big plans. I think that it definitely was a blessing in disguise.
It was. We're really hungry for it, and I talk to Coach a lot of times. I'm like, it sucks right now, but in the long run, like, all our rookies had a lot more experience than... But then we planned on having. So I think that everyone's ready for the next level. And I think everyone's a lot more prepared than originally planned. So I think it's great.
No, 100%. Well, Taryn, this has been a really fun interview. Really, really enjoyed this conversation. Really. Just talking about a lot of different things. Like I said, really, really enjoyed kind of getting to know you. Because obviously you play on the same sport. Obviously, didn't get to know you as much as I wanted
it's
to.
Busy.
But this was definitely a great opportunity to really get to know you and sit down and find out who you are. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
No doubt.
I enjoyed it.
And with that said, that is a wrap on another edition of the Lakers Locker. I want to thank my special guest, Taryn Gauthier, for joining us. You can find the video version interview on YouTube and listen to full interview on all podcast streaming platforms. Thanks, Taryn.
Thank you.